Absorbing $900 million in budget cuts has created a number of problems for the Internal Revenue Service, including major staffing reductions and uneven performance. The head of the IRS warned Congress just a few weeks ago that taxpayers would face longer delays than ever at call centers and processing times. The Government Accountability Office says the agency's budget request of $12.5 billion for fiscal 2015 is a step in the right direction. Jay McTagg is Director of Strategic Issues at the Government Accountability Office. Jay, thank you for being on the program today. Where did you start? What was the examination process? What was your charge when you looked at the IRS? Thanks for being on today.
Oh, thank you, Francis. It's a pleasure to be here. Every year, the GAO looks at the filing season. It's a time of year that most tax returns are processed, including telephone correspondence and website assistance for millions of taxpayers. The Congress is interested in how well the IRS is performing those duties. And at the same time, the President and IRS comes out with its budget request for the upcoming fiscal year. So basically, we had three objectives: to look at funding, staffing, and performance trends since 2009, and also assess the filing season to date. We also described the budget request to provide context for the appropriators who will ultimately decide on the funding level at IRS. And then finally, describe actions IRS has taken to absorb the $900 million in funding reductions that you described.
And I want to talk about those actions and the implications of those actions a little bit later on in our conversation. But something I noted in the correspondence that you sent to the leaders in Congress when you submitted this work, you wrote, "We conducted this performance audit from January to April 2014 in accordance with generally accepted government auditing standards." Why was it important to note that, do you think?
Those are the standards that we use to do all our work, to make sure that it's objective, fair, balanced, and we're held accountable to those standards through audits of GAO itself. So it's the way we do our work. We want to be fair and objective.
So you talked about the budget request, and I mentioned the number that the White House is asking for, $12.5 billion for fiscal 2015.
Correct.
This work says additional funding is not the only solution. We have open recommendations on IRS's operations that may help it achieve efficiencies over time, and that implies to me that there are things that you've recommended in other annual reports, those that you mentioned a few moments ago, that IRS hasn't gotten to yet. Is that a correct assumption on my part?
That is correct. Generally, we have many outstanding recommendations to the IRS. Many would go toward improving efficiency, effectiveness of the operations. I can describe some of those. The bottom line, however, is it will take time once IRS takes action on those recommendations. And even following all of our recommendations, it's unlikely that those recommendations alone would get the demands and resources back in balance at the IRS. So, some additional funding is probably necessary.
This is a downward trajectory that has not happened overnight. You write, IRS's appropriations have declined to below fiscal year 2009 levels.
That's correct.
And FTEs have been reduced by about 8,000 since fiscal year 2009. Not all the news is bad, but it appears the stuff that is kind of the silver lining here is mostly technology or culturally based. IRS's telephone level of service performance was 73% between January 1st and March 15th, 2014, compared to 69% last year. So that's a nice increase. But you note that there's a good reason for that.
That's true. This year has been a particularly smooth processing season, filing season, in large part, we believe, because there were no tax law changes last year. Tax law changes, particularly late in the calendar year, can cause confusion among taxpayers, and also it makes it difficult for IRS to gear up and be able to address any taxpayer concerns and adjust their systems as well. So this year, the filing season has been relatively smooth for that reason. And also, IRS has taken steps to divert some of the demand from its telephone services through enhancing its website applications. One example is taxpayers can now go to the website to get transcripts, which you know, whenever you do a mortgage or something, you generally need to have your income or taxes verified. And now, instead of going through the telephone service, you can go on to the website and see your transcript and order what you need. And that has taken about 3 million, potentially 3 million callers off the phone services.
And with it doesn't look like, from the numbers that I saw, a significant decrease in the amount of person power. I almost said manpower, but the amount of person power that the IRS is dedicating to that. So that's been a help in that area, it appears.
It has been a help. Of course, the demands on IRS continue to increase. You know, just from growth in the number of individual tax returns that are filed. Last year, it was IRS processed nearly 146 million individual tax returns. The tax code continues to get increasingly complex. And on top of that, IRS has been charged with implementing several new laws, most notably the Affordable Care Act. IRS plays a major role in administering the premium credit for taxpayers, and that is a concern going forward because a number of those provisions under the Affordable Care Act are kicking in this year and will be impacting next year's filing season.
Jay McTighe of the Government Accountability Office, and that's actually where I wanted to go next, Jay, because there are two curves here that I see that are going in opposite directions that are really unhealthy. The amount of work that the Internal Revenue Service has been tasked with by Congress is going up, up, up. The amount of people, as you write in this report, that are there to do the work is going down, down, down. And that's not a healthy outcome for the taxpayer who expects a level of service from the Internal Revenue Service. 8,000 full-time equivalents since 2009 with all of these added things on.
That's correct, and when the Congress adds on, I mean, it does translate into real staffing that has to go there. For example, IRS is already dedicating about 2,000 FTE to the implementation of the Affordable Care Act, and other items such as identity theft have become an increasing concern and put an increasing demand on IRS's resources. And currently, IRS has over 4,000 staff dedicated to, you know, ensuring that taxpayers are protected and cases are resolved. But even with 4,000, there's still a backlog of over 100,000 cases there. As we mentioned earlier, technology can help, and GAO has pointed to has a few recommendations geared at having IRS look more strategically using a risk-based approach at how they can use technology to become more efficient in terms of either the taxpayer services, moving to other web-based services, for example, but also looking at what the expected demand and resources necessary to provide a certain level of service. And, you know, what that would cost. And then the decision about the level of service can be more explicit.
When you talk about using a risk-based approach, Jay, in what way and how would you – do you have a position on how the IRS should go about using that risk-based approach?
We issued a report back in 2013 where we looked at different enforcement programs and the cost and return of the different enforcement programs across different categories of taxpayers. And based on our analysis, we recommended that IRS basically follow the same sort of analysis, looking at the rate of return for different programs with different taxpayers. And we identified potential opportunities to reallocate IRS's existing resources to produce a better outcome, essentially. So even within the current funding, there are opportunities to become more efficient.
We have a link to your report to Congress at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth later this afternoon, Jay, and I'm grateful for you coming on to talk about it with me today. Thanks for your time.
Oh, my pleasure, Francis. Thank you very much.
Jay McTighe of the Government Accountability Office, Director of Strategic Issues there, and you can read that correspondence and report, and you can hear my conversation with Jay later today at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth.